All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming so bright and early. Like she said, I am Dr. Chandria Jones, and I'm a senior study director at WestStat. And today I'm going to be presenting some of the research that we did looking at the use of digital and social media with minority youth and parents to promote healthy eating and physical activities. Per our APHA presenter requirements, I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So a lot of us are here because we're really interested in digital and social media. And the landscape of this has dramatically increased over the last couple of years. You have websites popping up every day that promote publishing, sharing, networking, discussing, all sorts of things. You're seeing mobile applications develop every day, different things for texting and all of this. And as public health researchers, we should ask ourselves, is this just a new fad, or is this one of the greatest technological advances since the Industrial Revolution? So in my research, we're interested in social and environmental issues related to childhood obesity. And as many of you know, childhood obesity is one of the major public health problems here in the United States, with 70% of U.S. children between the ages of 2 and 19 being overweight and obese. This problem is really significant in minority populations, specifically African American, Hispanic, Latino, and American Indian youth. And so what we did with this study is we really wanted to focus on some of these issues related to childhood obesity in minority youth and parents. So what we wanted to ask ourselves as part of this research study are what digital and social media communication strategies would be most effective in helping African American, Hispanic, Latino, and American Indian youth and parents engage in healthy eating and physical activities. So we were really looking to capitalize on this digital and social media boom that we're hearing so much about and seeing is it really effective in the populations that we tend to serve. So as part of this study, we conducted a series of 14 focus groups in seven different states across the U.S. And we analyzed the data that came from the audio files, the transcripts, and the focus groups notes to actually look at some of the themes and some of the things that the youth and parents were discussing around communication strategies. So here's kind of a table that highlights the distribution of the participants in our focus groups by location and racial and ethnic composition. And you can see we conducted focus groups in Arkansas, Florida, Maryland, New Mexico, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas. And so we were really targeting areas that tend to have high numbers of African American, Hispanic, and Latino, and American Indians. And we worked with several different community organizations to help recruit participants for these focus groups, both the youth and the parents. And they were not actually youth-parent dyads. They were just youth who were interested in participating and adults who had children under the age of 18. So in our analysis, we reviewed the transcripts and we looked for coded segments that related to the communication strategies that were being talked about. We conducted a keyword search to see if at any other places within the conversation the youth and parents were talking about things like Facebook or Twitter or websites, text messages, mobile applications, anything like that. And we organized the comments and the themes that we saw based on source, message, channel, and receiver. For those of you who do a lot of communications work, you know that that's a model that's used pretty commonly throughout. And so what did we find? So when you're talking about source, you're really talking about who's delivering the message. And in this instance, what we were hearing from the youth is that they were interested in hearing about healthy eating and physical activity from celebrities and athletes, you know, Derrick Rose or Kanye West, you know, people that they feel are actually interested in hearing about their lives. Adults, on the other hand, were more interested in hearing from people in positions of authority, whether it be medical doctors or hearing from government agencies like the CDC. Both youth and family talked about most of the information that they received that they found credible came from their friends and family, just, you know, traditional word of mouth. But across the board in all of our groups, the one thing that we heard a lot about was being relatable, that the source needs to be someone that they can relate to and connect with. One African-American parent put it like this: if you know that you're targeting primarily black people, don't come there with white people talking about this woman lost 200-something pounds and she doesn't look like me. So that's a prime example of them wanting to hear from sources that were very relatable to them. When it came to the messages, they talked about it in terms of both the content and format. You know, across the board, there was not a lack of knowledge that came across. Children knew what were good fruits and vegetables, and, you know, parents knew that both they and their children should be engaging in 30 minutes of physical activity. The things that they wanted to get to hear more about for parents were more how-to, providing recipes and shopping lists, exercise tips. Youth wanted to know more about how healthy foods could benefit them. They knew they should be eating them, but not necessarily why. And they were really interested in, you know, hearing some anti-junk food messages. They knew that they saw a lot of anti-smoking messages, but maybe they wanted to see something related to not eating fast food. And both youth and parents were interested in messages that would encourage limiting the amount of time spent in sedentary activities like playing video games. And the format was very much what you hear a lot of other times. They wanted something that was visually appealing, something that had more pictures than text, and that promoted positive images. One African-American youth put it like this: seeing all those kids so happy and so thin eating all these vegetables and fruit will make me want to go out and eat vegetables. Now, we were talking specifically about digital and social media as the channel, but we got into more depth conversation around, well, what aspects of digital and social media would you find most helpful? Youth and parents both talked about wanting to see motivational videos. You know, one African-American youth said, show videos about how, what they do for the first day of their life, the second day, how they're committed to healthy eating, how they're committed to the gym, how they're committed to exercising. So using other people's lives as examples of what to do. Parents talked about having more social networking sites, you know, forums where they can exchange ideas and things like that with other parents. And both and youth themselves also talked about seeing more games and online competitions that offer rewards instead of Candy Crush, have Veggie Crush, something like that. When we talk about the receiver, we're really talking about the individuals who are going to get these messages and that we're wanting them to act upon. And what came across interestingly, in our focus group conversations, was that there were things about the context in which youth and parents, minority youth and parents, actually operate on a daily basis. And so they really wanted people to understand that, you know, even though they may be using digital and social media, it's limited. It's not something that they're on every day, constantly. And even access sometimes can be an issue. One Hispanic parent said, some people, they don't have computers. The libraries have a lot of computers. Maybe the people, when we don't have computers, we can go to the library. We can go check online. But some people don't have a car. They don't have access to go. So it was interesting to hear that, you know, even though we're seeing all of these increases in use, it's not necessarily regular use for minority youth and parents. And then they also talked about working with your target audience to create the messages and to learn how they're using these mobile applications and these online environments. And also realizing that even though digital and social media is interesting and they're using it, that they still like some of those traditional communications, like public service announcements on the TV and radio, or just word of mouth communication. So essentially, this is kind of what it all looks like put together, where you have this interaction between the source, the message, the channel, and the receiver. And you can see how, you know, how each one of these things operate interchanging, and talked about how we talked about the different aspects from each of the different strategies that you see here on this slide. So what does this all really mean for us as public health researchers? Well, one of the things that we found from this study is that digital and social media communication strategies were very much in line and should be in line with tried and true communication practices. You know, it's not new for us to say that we need to have visually appealing materials and that catchy songs and slogans are still very effective. And that's what came out in these conversations with youth and parents. The other thing to understand is that minority youth and parents may not currently look to digital and social media as the first place to go to get health information, particularly when looking to improve physical activity and healthy eating. They're still going to traditional print materials and listening to friends and family and things like that. So we have to take that into consideration when we're developing public health interventions or social marketing campaigns, that digital and social media is being used, but it's not necessarily, we're not necessarily at the point where it's being used as the sole source of information. So we say all that to say that digital and social media should be tied to larger marketing and efforts and communication campaigns, that it should be looked at as a tool in your resource box and not necessarily the sole method of communication, because we just, for minority youth and parents, we just may not be there yet in them going to digital and social media to find out more about healthy eating and physical activity. So that concludes my presentation. A special thanks to the funders, to people who assisted on our research team, and our community organizations that helped with the recruiting.